don't wanna know, no, no, no. Who's taking you home, 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 home? I'm loving you so, 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 so. The way I used to love you, no, I don't wanna know, no, no, no. Who's taking you home, 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 home? I'm loving you so, 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 so.
719 on the great WRKO, Jeff Cooner, Boston's Bulldozer. 617-266-6868 is the number. Okay, let me ask you, did you see the Kyle Rittenhouse interview? What did you make of it? And do you agree with the Cooner man? After I watched it, Grace and I both watched it. She looked at me. I looked at her. Two minds. I guess we've been married so long together, we almost finish each other's sentences. Damning. Both of us said damning. Because it showed, it exposed like nothing else before, the complete manipulation, deceit, and lies of the corporate media, the fake news media. That was no white supremacist. That was no crazed vigilante that was interviewed yesterday. It was so obvious. They smeared and defamed that young man. 617-266-6868. Agree, disagree. Okay, we've reconnected. Denise in Gloucester. Thanks for holding, Denise, and welcome.
Hi, Jeff. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Denise?
I'm hanging in there. I watched that whole thing. I watched the whole trial, actually. And that poor kid, what he went through, I feel so bad for him. But don't you think that maybe he said that he's going to go to school there, like having lawyers and stuff like that? Don't you think he didn't say where he was actually going to live. So don't you think that maybe that he just said that he was going to go to school there to throw people off, maybe?
Oh, you mean like maybe he'll go to another school or another
yeah,
state and. Like as a sort of as a cover or as a distraction or a deflection, like a bait and switch?
Right. Right.
Oh, you could be right, Denise.
And I think you need I'm glad that the jury showed those thugs what the justice system really is, because I sat and watched that verdict and I was praying to God that he was not guilty.
Denise, I'm just curious. Did you watch the interview last night?
Yeah, I sure did.
What was your impression of him? Just when you after, what is it, 50 minutes, he spoke. You know, it was a Q&A, question and answer. What did you, seriously? What did you make of him?
Honestly,
did he seem to you like he was a killer, a murderer, a racist, a neo-Nazi, an evil person bent on slaughtering people? Is that the impression you got?
Yeah. No, I think he was the nicest person, nicest kid, brought up very well. I never, ever, no way supremacist, never. That kid has a racist bone in his body. He was unbelievable smart. He could answer questions like that. He was unbelievable. I was proud of him last night, and I'm proud that he got off, and I'm so happy. And thank God for those lawyers, because they really showed that prosecutor off.
Amen. Amen. Denise, thank you very much for that call. Honestly, that I completely agree, 1,000%. To me, that was the most stunning thing about the whole interview. It was like night and day from what the media had presented him to be. Night and day. Smart, articulate, composed. Mature beyond his years, honestly, wise beyond his years. There's one point in the interview where Tucker Carlson keeps like looking at him like, man, are you for real? Like, you know, you're only 18. You know, and he says, you're very calm. Why are you so calm? And he says, well, no, I'm not going to lie to you. You know, I'm on the inside, I'm all stressed out of my mind. You know, he's like, but no, why worry about things you can't control? He goes, look, a lot of these things are out of my control. So if they're out of your control, you shouldn't worry about them because you can't control them. I'm telling you, this is what most people conclude when they turn 50. This, I concluded this maybe a couple years ago. I used to get aggravated, annoyed about things, anxious about things, worked up about things. And then literally, I think maybe 49, 50, I said, well, look, Jeff, if you can't control what's going to happen, then what are you getting all upset over? It's beyond your control, man. You do what you can, stay in your own lane, control what you can control. But if you can't control things, don't get upset about it because you have no control over it. And I'm thinking, this kid's 18, and he sounds 50. He's got the maturity and the wisdom of a 50-year-old man. And he's got a good heart. He's got a good, decent heart. You can see that in every answer that he gave. And I'm like, boy, the media, oh, do they owe him an apology? They owe him a big apology. Okay, very quick. 70470 is the text line. 70470. Please just write WRKO in WRKO in front of the text message because we share this text line with other stations. This is from 617. Jeff, I wonder if Kyle's lawyer knew that he was going to put the finger on Lynn Wood. Sounds to me like Kyle might get sued. Those were serious allegations. Based on everything I've ever heard about Lynn Wood, it doesn't sound like something he would do. Anyway, this is another one, 781. Tucker should invite Lynn Wood on his show to explain himself after what Kyle Rittenhouse said. Something is off. It's either Lynn Wood, the communication between the two, or what Kyle was told. But something is definitely off. Lynn deserves a chance to explain himself. Interesting. Well, that's why I said right away. Look, everything I've heard about John Pierce, that I believe. Lynn Wood, I'm like, really? I said, let's be fair and let Lynn Wood should have a chance at least to explain himself. Anyway, agree, disagree, 617-266-6868. Okay, lines are blazing. All of your calls. Next. With their tanks and their bombs and their guns. 731 on the great WRKO. Jeff Kooner, Boston's bulldozer. Okay, Kyle Rittenhouse speaks out. And I got to tell you, he hit the nail right on the head. Again and again and again. I thought it was a powerful, riveting, at times very sympathetic interview. And when he said the right of self-defense was on trial, the ability of Americans to defend themselves from criminals and rioters and thugs, protecting their communities, their homes, their families, he was 100% correct. And that ultimately is what swayed the jury, and it's what won him the case. Agree, disagree. Did you watch the interview? What did you make of Kyle Rittenhouse? 617-266-6868 is the number. Okay, Mark in Medford. Thanks for holding, Mark, and welcome. Hello, Mark. Did we lose Mark? Okay, let's go to Alan in South Carolina. Thanks for holding, Alan, and welcome.
Morning, Jeff. How are you?
Very good, Alan. I'm very happy about what happened to Kyle Rittenhouse. And after I saw last night's interview, honestly, I don't think the media is ever going to recover. I really don't.
I agree with you. Hey, really quick before I make my point, I just wanted to wish you, Grace, the kids, and all of Kooner Country a happy Thanksgiving from this, the 10th great-grandson of William Bradford, the pilgrim.
Oh, God bless you, and thank you, and Alan, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. All the best.
Hey, so my thought on the interview last night was that doesn't Kyle sound a little bit like Paul the Apostle and how he handled himself in prison? Those multiple times in the Roman Empire. I mean, treating, you know, the guards, you know, how he was treated by the guards and how he responded with grace and humility.
And forgiveness.
Yeah.
Oh, I agree. No, Alan, I agree.
That was my impression.
Well, look, they're saving something for the documentary, obviously. But in the documentary, you're going to see that Rittenhouse has these night sweats. He can't sleep at night. He has these horrible dreams. He keeps reliving that night, although he thinks he's going to get killed. Obviously, like any person who's gone through a shooting, it changes you. Police officers have talked about it. People in the military have talked about it. So you see him agonizing in the doc, you know, the segments of the documentary, and he's focused on the cross. There's a cross in his room, and he just keeps focusing and staring at the cross and praying. And it's the cross and prayer that is getting him through. And it's sustaining him now in this darkest of days and darkest of ordeals. And so I think there is something very special about this young man. There's something about him. There's a light within him that I think radiates. And I agree with you, Alan. There is something, you refer to St. Paul. I think it's a great analogy, but there's something almost transcendental in a sense of God has watched over him. You know, Grace and I talked about it. You may disagree, Alan. I think it's a miracle that he survived. You look at the video footage.
Oh, totally.
Oh, how they came after him like a pack of wolves. Jump kick man. And then Anthony Huber with the skateboard. And Rosenbaum, who wanted to burn him alive. And Gage Grosskreutz, who pointed a gun at his head. And all those people chasing him. It was like, I swear, it's like a Hollywood movie. You know, but in Hollywood, you go, ah, it's BS. You know, the mob will get you or they'll rip you limb from limb. This guy, I don't know how... But this guy manages to survive. It's incredible.
Incredibly composed and just the, having the presence of mind to do what he did. And yeah, I agree with you.
I mean, to be so cool under fire when all these people are charging at you and trying to kill you. And then, Alan, I don't know if you caught that part of the interview. So then he hands himself over to the police, right? He's like, look, hey, I just want you to know I shot somebody and, you know, I was in self-defense, but, you know, you do what you got to do. The cops pepper sprayed him. They tell him to go home. And he thinks because there was so much noise and chaos, they didn't quite hear what he said. But they did. The cops pepper sprayed him. And then he ends up going back to one of the car dealerships to protect the car dealership after everything that happened. And then he's talking about how he's nauseous, he's vomiting, he doesn't feel well. And then, here, I just want to play this. Alan, since I have you, this is, to me, this was one of the most remarkable moments of the interview where I said, this is a special kid. This is a straight shooter. This is an upright, this is a moral man, fundamentally. Now, his mother is reacting like any mother would. Two people are dead. One person is wounded. Black Lives Matter and Antifa are basically hunting for him. He's now public enemy number one. The media is just, I mean, they're tearing into him. It's a witch hunt. They want Kyle Rittenhouse. They want his head on a pike. So his mother says, my God, Kyle, they're going to destroy you. You need to go into hiding. This is what he tells his mother. Roll cut 21, lightning.
I didn't call my mom after I saw her, and she was in shock. She was like, she wanted to go into hiding, and I said, no, the right thing to do would be to turn myself in. I didn't do anything wrong.
I mean, it's... And then he ends up going to the Kenosha police station, and he goes, okay, I'm going to turn myself in. I didn't do anything wrong, so why should I hide? So he goes to the Kenosha police station. I mean, Alan, it's almost like a comedy now at this point. The police station is under siege from the very same rioters and Black Lives Matter Antifa terrorists. So the guy can't even hand himself in. So that's when he crosses state lines and goes to the police station in Antioch. Roll cut 20, lightning.
We couldn't turn. I wanted to turn myself in Kenosha. I wanted to turn myself into the police in Kenosha, but I wasn't able to because they weren't accepting visitors, apparently, with the barricades and the fence up. So we ended up turning myself into the Antioch Police Department.
So you drove back across state lines, as we're now calling it. Funny. You couldn't even turn yourself in.
No, it was like I had to go to. Antioch Police Department, which, to my understanding, is the closest police department to Kenosha.
Alan, he wants to turn himself in. Sorry, you don't mean to laugh, but you know, I'm sure, but it is funny. He wants to turn himself in. And even that is a freaking ordeal for this guy. And he says, no, they won't let me turn myself in. So now I got to go to Antioch. I got to go across state lines. Like, he's determined to do the right thing against all the... I mean, most people would have said, hey, I almost died tonight. These animals tried to kill me. Blank you, man. I'm going home. You know, I'm going to get out of Dodge. And what the hell? Find me, don't find me. This guy. No. Let's go to Kenosha. Oh, no. They're destroying the police station, so I can't. All right, then let's go to Antioch. So let's drive another 15 miles. Yeah, he won't stop until he gets... Alan, he won't stop until he gets arrested so then he can be persecuted in jail.
He was obviously raised right, and obviously he was too young to be, you know, having a concealed weapon permit. But, I mean, when you go to get that, you are obviously taught the laws and all of that. And you're taught what to do if you're involved in an incident like this. So, I mean, he did the right thing. He was wise beyond his years. And if you're involved in an incident like this, you turn yourself in, you explain your situation, and let things, you know, be sorted out, you know, legally. And you're right. I mean, he did the right thing. He obviously was raised well, knew how to handle himself. I think the kid's just, you know, a really good kid, like you said.
I think he's a hero. I really do. And Alan, I like the way you refer him to St. Paul. I think it's a beautiful analogy. And notice, Alan, notice about, you know, the analogy to St. Paul. There's no guile at all. There's no cunning. There's no deceit in Kyle Rittenhouse. Like, he's just, you know, he's got a face like bread. You know, the Italians have an expression, a face like bread. Just a good, decent, wholesome Christian kid. An all-American kid who was just trying to do the right thing the whole time.
There's no walking out of the courtroom with his hands raised, you know, victorious or anything like that. He was just, you know, again, humble, even coming out of the
situation. Very humble. Just a wonderful boy, a young man, forgive me. Alan, great call. Thank you so much for that call. Mark in Medford. Thanks for holding, Mark, and welcome.
Good morning, Jeff.
Hi, Mark.
We left one agency to sue off that list, and that would be the FCC for complete and total negligence of doing their job and allowing talk shows and the mainstream media and fake news to allow propaganda, phony propaganda, false statements, and other bullcrap that's being allowed to be talked about on live television on the airwaves. Where is the FCC and why aren't they doing their job?
Mark, do you think the interview yesterday was just a devastating expose of the lies and corruption of the corporate media?
Absolutely. Without a shadow of a doubt, Jeff. Absolutely.
Mark, you're very street smart. I want to ask you, if you're advising Kyle Rittenhouse, well, should he change his name or keep his name?
I'd keep his name. I'd keep my name because there's nothing to be ashamed about.
Mark, as always, thank you so much for that call. 617-266-6868. And I don't think Kyle's going to change his name. His lawyer is advising him to, but he says, nah, here I am. More with your calls next.
My bad habits lead to late nights and then alone conversations with a stranger.
7:48 on the great WRKO. Jeff Cooner, Boston's Bulldozer. 617-266-6868 is the number. Okay, listen now to Kyle Rittenhouse, where he says, and this was one of the most surprising aspects of the interview. He actually says he sympathizes with the Black Lives Matter movement. Not the violence, obviously, and the rioting and the burning and the looting and all of that. but because of his experience, he actually now has a certain sympathy for BLM. Listen to this. Roll cut 22, Lightning.
I think it was opportunists taking advantage of the BLM movement. I agree with the BLM movement. I agree everybody has the right to protest and assemble, but I do not agree that people have the right to burn down. I don't appreciate that people are burning down American cities to try to spread their message. I think there's other ways to go around and do that.
Now, he then, Tucker asks him to do a bit of a follow-up. And he says, look, I was the victim of prosecutorial misconduct. In fact, he says that repeatedly throughout the interview. This was a witch hunt. And the prosecutor was after me because of sheer political vindictiveness. This was a politically motivated prosecution. And he got away with things that no prosecutor should ever be allowed to get away with. They lied about me. They tried to frame me. And then he says, look, but I'm lucky because I've got resources. I had people who raised money on my behalf, $2 million to make bail. So, and I had a very good defense team. But he said, you know, I'll be honest. I can see there's many minorities who are defendants in a case who could be the victim of an out of control prosecutor. And they don't have, you know, a massive bail fund. They don't have lawyers. They don't have the kind of support that I had. So you're watching this, you go, so really there are aspects of BLM, according to Rittenhouse, he goes, where, yeah, I do sympathize with them. So even those that were persecuting him, trying to destroy him, vilifying him, hell, they put almost a bounty on his head. They want to kill him. He even forgives them. And turns around and almost says, hey, look, you know what? I'm not saying you guys are all wrong. Because of my experience, I can see where some of you are coming at. But you can't riot and you can't loot and you can't burn down cities. I'm sorry, that's just unacceptable. You have the right to peacefully assemble. You have the right to peacefully protest. And that I support. But violence, criminality, absolutely not. Now, the big one, and this was the elephant in the room, Joe Biden. Rittenhouse his lawyers are going to sue the mainstream media, and they should. They're going to sue people who defamed him. But none of this could have ever happened without the green light from Biden and the White House. It was Biden who labeled him a white supremacist. It was Biden who said he was a member of a militia. It was Biden who implied that he was an armed vigilante and a domestic terrorist. So listen now to Rittenhouse. Even then, look at the grace that he shows, the respect that he shows when Tucker asks him, hey, even Biden called you a white supremacist. He defamed you. What do you want to say to the president? Roll cut 19, Lightning.
What did you make of the president of the United States calling you a white supremacist?
Mr. President, if I could say one thing to you, I would urge you to go back and watch the trial and understand the facts before you make a statement.
That's not a small thing to be called that.
No, it's actual malice, defaming my character for him to say something like that.
And I hope you sue his pants off. I hope his lawyers go after Biden, not only just the media. I hope he goes right after Biden because he's right. That was defamation and that was malice. That was vicious. That was a pure character assassination. It was slander. It was slander. And the president of the United States owes him an apology. The media owes him an apology. The Democrats owe him an apology. Everyone owes him. On the left, including, by the way, BLM and Antifa, they owe this man a serious apology. Agree, disagree, 617-266-6868 is the number. Okay, you can text us 70470, 70470. Just write WRKO in front of your text message. Or as always, you can email me. This is a, you want to talk about a brilliant email. Listen now to this. I think it really puts its finger on the pulse. Jeff, after yesterday's show, I found myself contemplating when you reported that Kyle Rittenhouse has been suffering from PTSD and the sleepless nights from this whole ordeal. And it made me realize something. Put aside for a moment the fact of sitting in jail, the media vilification, and the court case. We as adults need to keep in mind that this was a 17-year-old kid who was forced to have to shoot and kill two people and wound another in self-defense. Now, you can ask any police officer who's had to shoot a criminal or any military veteran who's been in combat, and they'll all tell you that regardless of who it was that they had to shoot, and no matter how bad the person was, taking another human life is one of the hardest things they've ever had to mentally deal with. They all say the same thing, quote, "It changes you. You're never the same after that," unquote. Now, if that's unbelievably hard for an adult to deal with, just imagine how much harder it is for a young mind to have to process and live with. Bingo. And that's what I kept thinking as I kept watching this young man last night. What he must be going through. How this is probably going to stay with him and in some ways haunt him for the rest of his entire life. And look how the media, how Biden, how the Democrats utterly dehumanized him, utterly degraded him, smeared him, demonized him, and did everything in their power to destroy an innocent, decent kid. He was 17 at the time. He was a kid who did the right thing. To all of you liberals listening, shame on you. Shame on you. 617-266-6868 is the number. Okay, Paul in East Boston. Thanks for holding, Paul, and welcome.
Hey, Jeff. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Paul?
Good. Love your show. Let me make my points really quick.
Yes.
You know, one thing I think about the media in reference to Kyle that people don't understand is, you know, ABC, NBC, these companies are defined in their financial disclosures as entertainment companies. You know, often these anchors who do all this agitation, you know, they play fictional versions of themselves in movies, in action movies. They play themselves. And my point is, I think what people don't realize, and I'm not trying to go all Alex Jones here, but is that a lot of these anchors are, you know, robotic agitators paid by large corporations. And once the batteries come out and the paychecks stop coming, I think someday you'll see a lot of these people come out when they're older and say, "I didn't really believe anything I said. I was just being paid to be a professional agitator." So what you have to understand that you're really dealing with nowadays is a media personalities underneath corporate oligarchs that are being paid. The only question is the final disclosure of who's behind the curtain is why would they want to do this? Why would they want to stir up so much agitation through these basically actors on television? What is the point? Is it to destabilize our country? There is no reason to do that. You know, there's two sides to every story. I happen to be on Kyle's side, but you have a right to your opinion. Why can't the media just give both sides of the story and let people decide what they want? They're trying to foster a narrative so that they can create agitation and even basically a race war. Why would you want to do that?
Paul, don't get me wrong. I only have eyes for my wife. But I love you in a non-sexual way, my friend. I'm telling you, drop the mic. Drop the mic.
Too,
Paul, I got to ask you, like, do you work for the NSA by any chance? CIA, FBI? Are you like an intelligence guy? Like, do you like spy on the Cooner Man or listening on my conversations with Grace? Paul, I'm telling you almost verbatim, and you said it so eloquently and in such an articulate way, is exactly what Grace and what I tell Grace often. Paul, let me tell you this. The thing that shocked me the most, my 10 years in Washington, D.C., when I was at the Washington Times, where I hobnobbed with everybody, almost everyone that's still in the media today, they're paid whores. I'm going to put it to you very brutally, I'm brutally honest. They are hired guns. They're mercenaries. You know, you say, well, don't they care they're destroying their country? Don't they care they're fostering this racial hatred and racial division? Don't they care what they're doing to our own country to lie like this incessantly? Does a whore care when she lays on her back? Does a mercenary care when you pay him to kill someone? That's what they are. When you meet them, number one, let me tell you what strikes you right away. They have very little between their ears. They're completely vacuous. Many of them, frankly, are stupid. And they can't make it in Hollywood. The way you described it is dead on. They're wannabe celebrities, and they'll do anything for a big paycheck and anything to be in front of a camera. They live for fame and recognition. They sold their soul for fame and recognition. And so it doesn't matter what the puppet master wants them to do. I'm serious. It's like a political prostitute or a media prostitute. That's why I used to call them, they're not, you know, they're prostitutes as opposed to prostitutes. Whatever you pay them to do, they'll do. As long as the checks keep rolling and they keep getting their face on the camera. So they have almost no conscience whatsoever, no moral or ethical integrity whatsoever. They will destroy you, Paul, and not even blink an eye. They know Kyle Rittenhouse is innocent. Everybody knows he's innocent. They know it's classic self-defense. They don't care. For them, it's like, honestly, for them, it's like being in the mob. It's not personal. It's business. It's business. So that's why they are the enemy of the people. They're not journalists. They're not serious investigative reporters who are interested in the truth and in facts and what's doing what's right. Not at all. Think Hollywood, but instead put him as an anchor or her as an anchor. Same thing. They have a part to play and they play it and they get paid very well and they will destroy anyone who gets in their way. That's the so-called fake news media. And that's why, to me, they're one of the biggest threats that our country faces right now. They are fifth columnists, and they need to be rooted out before they burn the whole thing down. Paul?
Yes. That was amazing what you just said, Jeff. Let me ask you a question. What do you think the public would do or how would they react if, let's say, one of these Project Veritas video comes out where there's Lester Holt on a hidden camera saying, you know what, I don't believe any of it, what I say on television?
Oh, you know what, I think that'd be incredibly powerful. I think it would be devastating. And Paul, thank you very much for that call. Look, I know Lester Holt. I've met him a couple times. Man has no conscience whatsoever and stupid. Here, Anderson Cooper, stupid. Wolf Blitzer, stupid. Don Lemon, stupid. Chris Cuomo, stupid. Rachel Maddow, stupid. I can run that. Al Sharpton, oh my God, stupid. This guy's got nothing between his ears. All of them. Larry O'Donnell, that fraud, stupid. Completely stupid. All of them. And I don't know whether they believe it, don't believe it. It doesn't really matter. Whatever you pay them, they'll say. Whatever role you want them to play. So what I'm trying to tell you is they're very cold, extremely self-centered, hubris, pride, arrogant. They're what you think of a Hollywood celebrity. That's the media. And they're cutthroat. They'll cut anybody's professional throat to climb that greasy ladder. And in a way, they're also like Hollywood in this sense. Yes, they love the money. Don't get me wrong. They love the big paychecks. But fame is their number one vice. They live to be in front of that camera. I mean, when I say they're willing to sell their soul, they'll sell their soul. So truth means nothing. The country means nothing. Patriotism means nothing. Human lives, it means nothing. They don't care. Jim Acosta, by the way, complete fraud. What a fraud and a clown, a buffoon. Like, you look at a guy like him and you're like, how is this guy in front of any camera? And he's apparently one of the so-called star reporters at CNN. So I'm telling you, when I see liberals going on about, oh, I want this is CNN, or, you know, I watch the nightly news, or I watch MSLFBC, frankly, many of the
this
hosts at Fox.
This is CNN.
I mean, it's garbage. I'm like, these idiots? Are you kidding me? You put your faith and trust in them? They don't have an honest, decent bone in their body. Kyle Rittenhouse is the exact opposite of them. Light versus darkness. Good versus evil. The whores in the media, the prostitutes, they wouldn't know what to do a decent thing if their life had to depend on it. They made their deal with the devil a long time ago. 617-266-6868. And that's why Trump called them the enemy of the people. And he was right. And he only really got to know what they truly were like, the nature of the demon, the nature of the beast, when he started to see the coverage of him. And he's a bit different than Rittenhouse, as you know. He's a brawler. He's a puncher. He's a fighter. But he's like, this is not true. But this is not true. But no, look, I was at the meeting. I know what was said. This is just not true. You know, he always, and he would say this again and again. Look, I understand. Sometimes you can get something wrong. And you go, well, it's not exactly that way, but it's close. He goes, I'm reading report after report after report. It's all lies with a political agenda. It's not even close to being true. And that's when he labeled them fake news, and he's completely right. 617-266-6868. Lee in Waltham. Thanks for holding, Lee, and welcome.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi.
I'm the woman that Brandon encouraged to become a Republican. I wanted to just say, I woke up this morning like I do every morning very early, and I have a habit of turning on the Today Show to see what they're saying, because I know that they slant it to the left always. And then I turn the other station, Fox, for the real news. Okay, so I'm watching this, and they were discussing the interview last night, and I'm thinking, this kid's still on trial. The mainstream media still has him on trial. They didn't talk about what he aspires to be and why. You said that this was going to bother him for the rest of his life, that he will have, you know, nightmares for the rest of his life. No, I disagree. This is a very, very, very strong young man. His situation made him stronger. And I was saying to a friend, I texted a friend, we were both watching at the same time, and I said, he's going to be an attorney. He'll make an amazing attorney someday. And little did I know what was to come later in the interview, that he's actually going to Arizona State to become a nurse, which I think he'll be a fine nurse. He seems like a caring young man and professional. But then he said he may study law. I mean, what he went through made him stronger. But when you turn on the mainstream media, they, and you're absolutely right, they're paid to sensationalize. not tell the news, not be fair and unbiased. They are paid. It's a show. It's like the other gentleman said, it's entertainment. But what they did this morning was so unjust to that young man, into the law. Yes, it was an interview. Yes, like they said on the Today Show, Tucker Carlson obviously likes this young man. Well, so does every mother in America. And so do people like you and people like your listeners. Of course they like this young man. He's been to hell and back, and he prevailed. He didn't hide. He turned himself in. He did the right thing. This kid has more morals, self-esteem, and confidence than any punk out there on the street today. And, you know, anybody would be proud to have him in their hospital or in their law firm. He will prevail. He will continue to prevail. He showed that last night in that awesome interview, which everyone should watch. Whether you're Democrat, Republican, Independent, you should watch that interview. Go online, all you left-wing liberals, and see what confidence, self-esteem, and honesty really, really
and
is.
Guts, compassion. And courage. Compassion. Guts and courage.
Courage.
Lee, honestly, amen. Amen, amen. Audience is on fire. Callers are on fire this morning. Lee, thank you very much for that call. His testicular fortitude, I'm sorry, but the stones on this kid. That's the other thing, really. And, you know, we've talked about it. It took a 17-year-old boy, a teenager, to stand up to Antifa and Black Lives Matter. Portland, Seattle, Minneapolis, Chicago, New York, Boston, Atlanta. Downtown cores were looted, smashed, destroyed, burned, you name it, in city after city after city. And everybody just stepped aside. We talked about this. Where were the men? Where were the men? And this kid, I know he's a young man now, but he was 17 then. He's a kid. He had the guts to defend himself. He had the guts to stand up to these violent criminal thugs. There is the hand of God behind Kyle Rittenhouse. And I believe this is a watershed moment and a watershed case. Okay, a lot more to come. Don't touch that dial.